You are listening to Ideas and Leaders Podcast. I'm Elena Paventa, Executive Communication Coach and TEDx Organizer. With each episode, I'll share with you communication tips and ideas from top business leaders to help you excel in your career. Hello, hello. Welcome to the next episode of Ideas and Leaders Podcast. Today, I will have a very interesting conversation with my guest, who is a keynote speaker, actress, coach. She's an MC. I saw her in action. She's MCing on TEDx events, and she's just amazing, Alexandra Lewandowska. Hi, Alexandra. Welcome to Ideas and Leaders.
Hello, Elena. Good to be on your show.
So I saw you in action, how you are MCing on stage. You look so confident. You're always joking. You are radiating with a smile. How do you do this? Were you born like that?
Yeah, exactly. Just being yourself. I always think of it as if going on stage in your slippers, you know, as if walking into your kitchen, making yourself a cup of tea. It's just so natural. And I think it should be so, because after all, it's a meeting. Public speaking for me, it's a meeting, it's a conversation with people. And I have a feeling, and from what I hear from people, I think I'm right, that people need that kind of a relationship with the speaker, that they want to be treated in a friendly way, then they rather don't like the pomposity or unnecessary distance. So I try to treat the audience as my friends, and I think it resonates with people.
Yes, yes, you look very natural, and I think that this is the secret to just be yourself. But it is hard to be yourself, because we feel this nervousness every time before going on stage. Do you feel nervous sometimes, or are you able to hide it, and how do you do this?
Well, as they say, it takes a lot of makeup to look natural. So it takes a lot of effort to be yourself. I think it's actually a long way, you know, to be yourself in general, and even more to be yourself on stage. Because when you start doing anything, as you probably know, like when you are a beginner, you look up to other people, you watch what they are doing, you try to imitate them. It doesn't often look natural or authentic. But then the more experience you gain, the more you know what works, what doesn't work, and you allow yourself more and more to be authentic, and you let the natural you speak. I am sometimes nervous when on stage, but people always tell me they can't see it. So I don't know if it's good or not. probably it is. But I think that that the secret to be authentic, even though we've already disclosed the first secret in the first sentence, I guess, the secret is just to let yourself go. Just believe that people like you, and that you are there also for fun, and don't put unnecessary stress, and treat this event, treat the speech or emceeing, whatever you are doing, as fun, because it is fun and it is exciting, and you can actually trick your brain into telling yourself that it's not stress you are feeling, but excitement. So a little stress, as you know, it's actually good, it's motivating for us. So there is always this a bit of a stress I feel when I first go on stage, because, you know, it's like going on first date and you don't know the person, so you don't know who you are talking to. So that's this stress related to I don't know if this audience will, you know, will warm up to me. I don't know if what I say will resonate with that particular audience. But once, you know, you have the icebreaker, you feel that they are like responding to you, then it quickly, you know, flows, and then you can be more and more yourself and you can relax.
Those are really great tips on mindset. I think that many people struggle, myself included, struggle with having fun on stage, because we think a lot about ourselves. We think a lot about how we look, how we don't remember something, how our knees are trembling, and how our makeup looks, and hair and everything. And then you know, we're totally overwhelmed with everything that is happening about us that we forget that actually we're here for the audience. And I think that this is the key element, is to just forget about yourself and focus entirely on the audience. Do you have any tips for this, how to change the focus from your own worries to the audience?
True. I just, when you said that, I just remembered my Toastmasters championships in Brno in humorous speeches. I got to the semifinals and somebody was watching me from the audience, and then he came up to me and said, "Where were you in your head when you were speaking?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I was just thinking, like, was that good? Were they laughing hard enough?" So, you know, people can sense that. It's amazing how people can sense if we are in our own heads or if we are present in our bodies. So I would say there is no easy tip. Like, we know all these tips, but you know that once you are to go on stage, you forget everything because your body is stressed and it's just a physiological reaction. So what I would say is, practice being in your body, just practice being present every day. When you go shopping, when you talk with your friend, just focus on that person and make it a habit. And then it will be easier for you when you go on stage to actually be present and to focus on the audience. It's just a habit that you need to develop. There's no shortcut for that.
Yeah, so this mindfulness exercises, meditation and
exactly.
Grounding exercises. This is also a very good tip for speakers, among others, who are all the time in their head. And I think that this is the number one thing that is stopping people from speaking. I'm not speaking about, you know, professional speaking or emceeing or being a keynote speaker as you are, but people are even afraid of speaking up at the meetings and saying something a bit louder, because they are thinking not only about their message, about others, but that I will be judged, what they will think about me. I think that this is what is stopping many people.
True. But then again, you can always do a reality check. And like, as one of my mentees from this year's TEDx, she had a speech entitled, just go on, just do it. So when you are afraid to speak up at a meeting because you are afraid people will laugh, just maybe you don't have to, you know, like, make a presentation, but just answer one question. I like to speak about a concept called titration, like in science. So you just use very small doses to see what happens. And then you can, you know, jot down your observations, like, what actually happened? Did anybody laugh? Did anybody, you know, roll their eyes? And if not, you have a living proof that, yeah, it's okay to speak up. And just, you know, keep doing these reality checks and then discover that it's actually safe to speak up. And the more experience of the kind you gather, the more confident you'll be.
Yes, absolutely. I think that many things that we are thinking in our head, they just don't exist. For That's example, it. Someone told me that they're afraid that the hands are shaking and people will see it. Mm-hmm. But in fact, no one saw it, because this is something that is not visible if you're standing on the stage, or even if you're standing a couple of meters from the audience. So I think that what we are thinking in our heads is very often something completely opposite than from what people think about us. So I wanted to ask you about the TEDx coaching that you do. You're working with TEDx speakers, you're helping them to prepare. What are the most important areas that you help them in, and how do you help them to become those amazing speakers, starting from the scratch of the speech to giving a great speech in the end?
Well, first it starts with coffee. Obviously, I need to get to know the person, what kind of a person they are, what idea they have, what idea they want to share, and then we talk about the concept, the idea. And it depends on the speaker. Sometimes it takes more time to clarify because sometimes they really don't know themselves. Like they know more or less what they want to talk about, but they don't have this one message that they could write down in one sentence that they could send on Twitter. So the most important thing is to narrow down the ideas into that one message. And then once we got it, we work around the structure. Then we think about stories that we could put to illustrate the message. And then we look for humor to make the message more receptive to the audience. And in general, with every speaker, it's a separate journey because everybody is different. And I also use my coaching skills because I try not to interfere too much with the process that starts in them. So in the beginning, when I first started coaching TEDx speakers like 4 years ago, I sometimes suggested ready-made ideas. And now I really try not to do it, even though I sometimes think like, oh, that would be a good story or a good sentence. But I try to watch from a safe distance and just give some tips and maybe reflect to them what I'm seeing in them or what I see it's important, so that they also know that the speech is entirely theirs and I'm only there to help it. Like I'm a midwife that helps the idea to be born, but I'm not producing it.
Yes, absolutely. It's great that you're giving them the space to work on their ideas. I just earlier today, several hours ago, I had a meeting with one of my clients. We had a coaching session on communication skills, and we had this conversation. And he said, "So, give me your feedback. Tell me everything that I need to improve." And I was like, "I feel that there are some things that needed to be improved, but it is not the best way maybe to tell." So I did something like you shared now. I told him, okay, so let's watch the recording together. Let's go step by step. Then let's watch the recording of someone that you want to be like, this your mentor, and let's compare. What do you feel are the areas for improvement? And after watching this, he told exactly what I had in mind.
Yeah, but it came from him, right?
Yes, and he was so motivated after this, and he said, "Yes, indeed. Oh, this is something that I need to work on." So I think that this is a great idea to give them space to think about what to improve themselves, not to necessarily tell what we want them to do.
And I think it's generally a good skill to be less directive also in life and also as a speaker, because you know there are some speakers who go on stage and tell people do this, don't do that, and you know people then feel like little kids at school that are told what to do, what not to do. And I think it's a challenge for everybody to learn to be less directive and to trust the other person that they have it in them.
Yes, absolutely. And I also know that you're very good in not only in keynote speeches, which you are the European champion of speaking and humorous speaking, but also you're very good in improvising and also looking very confident with this. I know your MC.
Yeah, to look confident.
Yeah, so do you have any tips? Because we have to improvise a lot, not only in public speaking, but in life. We have job interviews. We have to answer many complicated questions during the day. And how to do this and to still be confident as a communicator, as a presenter?
I think it comes down to two things, to trust and presence. So trust that everything you need is right there and be present enough to notice it. So whenever you start a speech, you are in a new place, a new city, you can just observe what you see and comment on that. And the same goes for humor. Sometimes people don't really laugh that hard at a joke you spent hours, you know, thinking of, but you can just observe something funny that just happened and it will be way more natural and people will be like, oh, this person is present with us, like they see things. So it always works. And And surprisingly enough, you don't have to be super smart on or, you know, super brilliant. When you are present, even the boring things become interesting because people like being around people who are present. So trust that the answers are already there and something will happen that you can comment on and that will help you. And when you go into any situations, whether you go on stage or you go to work with that sort of a mindset, you will learn to be more and more confident that presence gives you confidence, because many people are not present in their bodies. They are thinking about something else. And this alone, it doesn't help to connect. And when you are able to connect just because you are present, you already win.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I love people who are present myself, because now it is so hard to find a person who is 100% present. We have a lot of information for our phones, emails all the time. And just the person who is even not saying anything, but just is having an eye contact with you, and you feel that this person is present and is listening and is being here. This is so precious right now. So showing that we're present, that we're here is amazing. But I think that many people have challenges with improvising, with telling something without preparation, because of this perfectionism that we have in ourselves. If we have to give a presentation, it has to be something prepared. For example, even I'm struggling sometimes when I'm working with my clients, and I say, okay, so let's work on this structure, let's say something, and they're okay, but I'm not prepared. And I say, well, we don't need to prepare, let's just say something and let's see how it goes. And I can feel that people have issues with this. They need to prepare, they need to write this down, they need to have slides. And somehow I think that if we break this pattern, then people would be just much better communicators if we don't have this perfectionism in ourselves.
Yeah, I think if you want to be good, you need to allow yourself to be bad. It's as simple as that. Like, many people will never achieve mastery because they cannot allow for this, you know, intermediary time when they are struggling, when they fall flat on their faces and other people can notice. But, you know, come to think of it, when you think of any area where you learn something, you are always there is always this time where you are a beginner and people see it. So that's actually the matter of, like, are you able to allow yourself to be bad, just to try and to make mistakes? And you can learn that, for example, by taking improv classes where people, you know, clap their hands when you make a mistake. They celebrate mistakes because there's actually no bad acting in improv. It's like everything is a proposal and you respond to it or not, you block it or not, but you learn that everything is okay. What you're doing is okay. You are just experimenting and trying. And if you change your mindset into such one, it will be okay. And I remember in particular a conference in Moscow, a Toastmaster conference in Moscow, where I made an mistake in a person's name. I called onto stage somebody whose name was Christina, and I called her Katya, and then she said, oh, my name is Christina, and I said, okay, Katya. And I did it unconsciously the second time, and then for the third time I made a mistake, and again I called her Katya, and then I, you know, I commented something on me being scatterbrained and whatever. And I just didn't make a big deal out of it. It's just, you know, if people did laugh, like, so much the better. They have a good time because I'm making mistakes. And then I remember somebody came up to me and said, well, I really admire how you handled the situation, because you made a mistake 3 times, but you still didn't, you know, make a big deal out of it. And I thought to myself, like, of course I didn't. Like, why should I? Because if you make a big deal of your mistakes, then you're drawing all the attention to yourself, and you somehow invite other people to reassure you that you did nothing wrong. But obviously you did nothing wrong, you just made a mistake. So the more you make light of it, the better. And, you know, that's just human. So the more we accept ourselves as humans too, the better for everybody.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with you. So what is your tip for people who are maybe a little bit afraid of speaking in public, or maybe someday they want to become MCs and professional speakers and keynote speakers? So what do you think is the most important to work on?
I would say go find the nearest Toastmaster club and practice. Just find yourself a stage. You may not like the way somebody presents. You may not like how the meeting is held, but it doesn't matter when, as long as you have the stage. World champion in public speaking, Darren McCroyce, said famously, stage time, stage time, stage time. That's what counts. So use every opportunity to speak. If you have an opportunity to speak at your office, make a presentation, just put your hand up. Just tell your boss that you will do it. It may not be perfect, but you are still going ahead of everybody else because you are having the stage time. You know, even in church, when the priest asks you to read the reading, like, go raise your hand. It will also be stage time in front of a lot of people. And when somebody asks you to speak at, I don't know, at a wedding, just go take the opportunity. Don't think too much. Just use the Mel Robbins 5 second rule, like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm into that.
Yes, that's a great tip. Indeed, we need to go out of our comfort zones and start doing what we are really scared of. And in the end, we will see that actually all of the things that we were thinking to ourselves, they are not true. And people just don't care about our small mistakes or the way we look or something. They just want to get value out of our message.
Yeah, people want to connect, and we sometimes forget about it and think that they are more like judging the way we look or judging our wording. But what they really want is connection, and they want, as you said, they want value. And I remember that that time in Brno, that humorous speech, I won, even though when I watched the video, I actually saw that I heard that I made some grammar mistakes. So it really didn't count.
Yes, yes. And this speech was really great. I remember that I saw you on this stage, and it felt really great and really natural. And I think that this is your secret, that you're combining the great way of speaking with being natural and with being yourself, being authentic. So this is something that we can learn from you for sure. So if our listeners want to contact you, want to reach out, where they can find you in the internet?
Currently, you can find me on Facebook, among many other Aleksandra Lewandowskas, and also on LinkedIn, Aleksandra Lewandowska Speaker.
Perfect. I will definitely put the link to your proper Facebook account and LinkedIn account under this episode, so that our listeners can immediately connect with you and ask you for more tips on public speaking. Thank you very much, Aleksandra, for being with us on Ideas and Leaders.
Thank you, Elena. Great talking to you as always.
Thank you for listening to Ideas and Leaders podcast. Did you enjoy this episode? Let me know that you listened by tagging me in your LinkedIn profile and using a hashtag Ideas and Leaders. See you in the next episode.